Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Stephanie. Someone's not muted. Can we mute, please? Star one to mute, everyone. Thank you. We'll start that all over again. Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Stephanie L., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, June 13th, 2025. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, where we are beginning in Chapter 11 of Vision for You on page 151, the first full paragraph that begins with, for most normal folks, ending with, and one more failure. And we're going to read and comment on that one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Jody E. reading the text, Penny L.C. reading page 164, and Leslie M. is our backup reader today. Newcomer greeter is Christina M., and announcements will be Shelley E. The reference ID number for yesterday, Thursday, June 12th, 2025, is 22,520, or 22520. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,523, or 22523. OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. The sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Someone is still unmuted. If we could hit star one, please, to mute, please. Thank you. So each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Terry G. to please the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Stephanie, and thank you for your service. Good morning, everybody, and a special warm welcome to all the young new folks. My name is Terry G. I'm from Pensacola, Florida, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made a direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for giving me the opportunity of being in service today. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Terry G. And I will now ask Joanne L. to please read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Joanne.
Oh, good morning, Stephanie. Thank you for your service, and good morning to all on the line, especially the newcomers. I am Joanne L., and I am recovered in Rhode Island. The 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Least problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you very much, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Joanne L. Our meeting notes. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, this is really important, to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted, please. Today we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are starting Chapter 11, A Vision for You, page 151. First full paragraph, beginning with, for most normal folks, ending with, and one more failure. And we're going to read and comment on that one paragraph this morning, and I will now ask Jody E. to please begin reading. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning.
Oh, there you are. Good morning.
Here I am. Yes. Good morning, and I am Jody E., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from California. A vision for you. Chapter 11. For most normal folks, drinking means conviviality, companionship, and colorful imagination. It means release from care, boredom, and worry. It is joyous intimacy with friends and a feeling that life is good. but not so with us in those last days of heavy drinking. The old pleasures were gone. They were but memories. Never could we recapture the great moments of the past. There was an insistent yearning to enjoy life as we once did, and a heartbreaking obsession that some new miracle of control would enable us to do it. There was always one more attempt and one more failure. Oh, doesn't that express it well? It's so beautifully written. And I can so relate. You know, my compulsive eating started very young. I started, as I have said, I started baking as a child, the age of 8 or so. And that was something that became a daily hobby for me. And by the time I was 17, I was baking in a bakery. And then at the age of 22, I dropped out of college and started working for restaurants as a pastry chef. So I found a lot of joy not only in eating my alcoholic foods, but also in creating them. It was fun for me. It was like an artistic form of entertainment. And eating with others, with my family, with friends was, I had friends in high school that was what we did together. That's what was our common bond, was eating. When I met my husband, the same thing. For me, my attraction to my husband was about him being an eating buddy. And he mostly went along with that. But something changes, doesn't it? After a while, you're searching for that high that you got early on in your disease. And then the glow starts to fade and the negative consequences loom larger and larger. And we're wanting that high that we used to get, but we can never quite find it. It's because it's an illusion. Not really what we need. It's not really what we want. There's something better. And that's what we find by working the 12 steps. We find a real satisfaction by coming into contact with a higher power, by cleaning up our past, and by living a good life to the best of our ability, living with good intent, trying to be of service. So it is a psychic change, and yes, it's so much more satisfying than chasing this elusive high that I used to get from food. And with that, I pass.
Oh, perfect timing, and thank you so much, Jody E. Thank you. Great way to start us off. We're now going to open up the meeting for sharing, and although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day, in order that others might share their experiences too. If you shared on Wednesday or Thursday on any of our vision meetings, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow time for as many people as possible to share too. And I'll remind you when your timer is up. If you would like to share, please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Hi, I'm Kristen Y. from Northern California.
Got you, Kristen.
Susan G., Los Angeles.
Hey, Susan, got ya.
Linda W. from Las Vegas.
Got you, Linda.
Vicki T. from Florida.
I've got you, Vicki. Do we have anyone else who wants to get in on this first lineup?
Sarah N. Washington.
Is that Sarah M. or N?
M is in Nancy. Did you get that?
I got you. Sarah M. from Washington, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I've got Kristen Y., Susan G., Linda W., Vicki T., and Sarah N. We're going to start with Kristen Y., followed by Susan G. Good morning, Kristen.
Good morning. Hi, I'm Kristen. I'm a compulsive overeater on day 3 of abstinence and really grateful to hear that paragraph and to be in here. And yeah, it is incredible how entrenched the food is for me. And I've been listening on the meetings and thought I could eat one food and told my sponsor, you're going to think this might sound crazy. And I told her that I was going to see if I could eat that. And she said, it does sound crazy. And, you know, I could control it for a minute and until I couldn't. And then, you know, other things came in. And yeah, I keep trying and failing. And it is, it's my great obsession to eat like a normal eater, every abnormal drinker's great obsession. And so I do feel thoroughly beaten down by the food. I heard in another program that the substance made me its bitch, sorry to swear, but I feel like that around the food. And I was thinking about how, yeah, my connection with friends, young, or going out into the neighborhood was around food, looking for the kind of food I wanted. And actually, it was that same food, now that I think about it. Anyway, I have a new sponsor. Somebody said yesterday, I'm such a work in progress, and said it so joyfully that I was like, all right, okay, so you maybe you needed to do more research, whatever. So I'm just, thank you for being so kind and accepting and easy, because I need to do that for myself, but I also need to do the work, stick with it. I can't do it on my own. I was watering in my garden and I thought the other day, I'm going to do it because I really want to. And it made me laugh. Me really wanting to is not enough. I have to have a psychic change. So thank you. So grateful to be doing this with y'all. Thanks.
Oh, thank you so much, Kristen Y. Glad you're here. Kristen Y. from California. Next, we'll have Susan G., followed by Linda W. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Stephanie. This is Susan, recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. Thank you, Team Friday, and thank you, Jody, for starting us off. Here we are, Chapter 11, A Vision for You. Hopefully, I have the ability now to see what I couldn't see before. And being somebody who packed on the pounds by the hundreds, I never ate with other people. So this first sentence, did I have a colorful imagination? Absolutely. And I still do. I mean, it wouldn't be any fun if you didn't. But I always ate alone and it was very, very lonely. And I paid people to help me stop eating, to work me out, to do all of these things. And that was that insistent yearning. And, you know, they told us in first pages of the book that I am a distinct entity, and this is one more reminder. And unfortunately, coming to meetings, and welcome back to all of those who are coming back today, you remind me that there is nothing different out there, and that those pleasures will, they just won't happen. And obviously, I can't speak to what it's like to be a bulimic or an anorexic if there's a different high, but being morbidly obese is not much fun. You know, there are always things I'm sure to try. And in 26 years, I'm sure there's been many billboards that I have walked past and thought, huh, I would have spent my money on that. And today there are other things going on. And yet today I have no yearning for that. And what I have today is joyous intimacy with friends and a feeling that life is good. And I know that it is. I know that God shows up for me every day. And today I've chosen to do the same. And I don't have to have that one more attempt and one more failure. As long as I keep on doing and keep that conscious contact with God, you know, I will continue to have that joyous intimacy with friends and with the rest of the people who I come into contact with. And with that, I pass. Thank you, Stephanie.
Yeah, thank you so much, Susan G. from Los Angeles, California. Next, we've got Linda W., followed by Vicky T. Good morning, Linda. And Linda, you'll need to hit *1 to unmute, please.
Oh, sorry, I thought I was unmuted. Thank you all for being here for me. This is a very, very powerful paragraph for me. I didn't realize that food has been my companionship, family affairs, being with friends. Every time, it seems to me, every time I go out, it's about food and more food. And the reality is it's about being with God. And for me, just reminding myself that and taking the pause, I'm always such in a hurry and my mind is always going in all directions. Even now when I talk, it's like in all directions. And I just really feel that I'm rambling. I really feel that I need this break to be able to stop, listen, and be with it and be with God to get out of this food that I've been in. Obviously, it sounds like I've been in the food, and I have been, and my host, I'm just rambling. I'm sorry, but thank you again for being there. I do appreciate it, and this paragraph is an eye-opener that this is how I've used food and not I'm looking for the miracle. I need the miracle, and one day at a time. And thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Linda W. from Nevada. Next, we've got Vicky T., followed by Sarah N. Good morning, Vicky.
Good morning, Stephanie. Good morning, everybody. This is Vicky T., recovered in Florida, and I wanted to make an amends to the group. I was put my name out yesterday, and I got called away at work, and I wasn't able to share, and somebody told me that they kept bringing my name back up, so I'm sorry to waste the time. I really apologize for that. So, thank you. I get so excited about this fellowship. You know, the companionship, the conviviality, the colorful imagination, the release from care, boredom, and worry. I mean, I know it says later on in our book, do we not have a sufficient substitute? Oh, my God, this fellowship is delicious. It is just delicious. The connections that I make with fellows, the friendships are so deep, and I never felt that with the food. Yes, in those 9 seconds, for sure, but the energy before, the adrenaline to get the food, I mean, if women and children run away, I would just run them over. It just didn't matter. And then the remorse and the depression afterwards. So I never really had that real connection of friendship with the food. I just used it as a drug, and it just backfired on me. And just those years of attempt and failure, it took over me. I just never knew when I was going to have a day, a year, several years of the skinny phase. I had the skinny phase of where I was restricting and compulsively over-exercising, and I was on a high and control, and it would last for years until it wouldn't. Then I'd be in the binging phase where I couldn't work out because I was just constantly binging, and I was wearing oversized clothes and hiding, and it just would go from this vacillate from one side to the other. And today, with that psychic change, you know, it really is. It is a program of miracles because it's the psychic change. I don't, because here's the thing, and I'm not making myself better, worse, or the same, or different, but I am not one of those ones that can call, oh, I have the urge to binge, I'm going to make a phone call. This, in all my years of program, I've never, I can call afterwards, that's easy. I just binge, I'm mortified. But before, no. If I had that craving, it was so strong and overpowering. And I'm so grateful that doesn't happen to me today. So thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Vicki T. from Florida. Next, we've got Sarah N. And Sarah.
Hello, good morning, my fellows. Thank you, Stephanie, for your service, and Jody for kicking us off. My name is Sarah. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in the state of Washington. And I too, related so much to this paragraph. For me, I can go back to my life. I'll start with, you know, for normal folks, drinking means conviviality, companionship, colorful imagination. So I was one of six children and the middle, and family dinners like were great. It was like, you know, my favorite time. Helped my mom in the kitchen and loved being together with the family. As I was growing up, I was chubby. I was fat from the beginning, and I was told so by peers and siblings. And so I knew I was different, but I wouldn't never, you know, didn't consider myself compulsive overeater. It just, there were foods that I loved and was attracted to and wanted and enjoyed when I could. And those were the same foods my mother, you know, God bless her heart, tried to, you know, hold me back from. And I know, because I just desired them with a passion. And I did that for many years. My adulthood, nobody's going to tell me what to eat. And as my, you know, progressively went up, I still could not concede to my innermost self that I was a real compulsive overeater until I did. And for me, what jumps out in this instant yearning to enjoy life as we once did, and a heartbreaking obsession that some new miracle of control enable us to do it. I've been a member of Overeaters Anonymous for 13 years. And I think I've had that heartbreaking obsession. This is, for me, just a gentle reminder or stark reminder of my powerlessness over of step one, really. That even, you know, this morning, like I wake up and I ask myself, okay, are you a real compulsive overeater? My disease absolutely progressed to the point where I could not stop eating specific foods and ingredients when I wanted to. And once I started, I could not stop. And it took the miracle of this fellowship, you know, my dependence on my creator. But the fellowship is what helped to point me to the AA Big Book to help me understand what this disease was all about and to point me in a new direction, that there was a power greater than myself that could restore me to sanity around food. Doesn't mean I get to eat those alcoholic foods. And as soon as we read this, I could immediately picture my younger sister and this one particular food that was this specific sandwich, and she just ate half of it. And I always go back there like, how can you only eat half of that? Like, I just want to eat the whole thing. And I just so many things
time.
That I'm powerless over. Thank you. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Sarah N. from Washington. And before I get another lineup, I wanted to remind everyone where we're at. We're in the Big Book, starting in Chapter 11, A Vision for You, on page 151. We read the first full paragraph, beginning with, for most natural folks, ending with, and one more failure. And we read and we're commenting on that one paragraph this morning. And if you'd like to share, please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Mo H. from California.
Christiana K.
Hey, Mo.
From California.
Wendy M. Okay, hold on one second. I heard Mo, but there was someone between Mo and Wendy. Who was that?
Sherry K. from San Francisco, California.
Okay, I heard Sherry, but there was somebody else also. So who did I miss? I've got Mo, Sherry, Wendy M., and there was someone else.
Christiana K. from San Francisco, California.
Christiana K. from California?
Yes.
Got you. And Merit Sherry, what was your last initial? Sherry, what was your last initial?
H-M.
H-M. And where are you from? Where are you calling from?
H-M. Sherry H-M.
Okay. And where are you calling from, Sherry?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not awake, obviously. Washington State. Hello.
Got you.
Oh, man. Need more coffee.
No worries, friend. And then there was someone else. Who was that?
Merit.
Merit W.
One at a time, please.
CK in California.
CK in California. Right? And who else?
Merit W in Missouri.
Was that Mary W?
Merit, like the badge or the award?
Got you. Merit W in Missouri. Okay.
Dion R.
Okay, I'm going to add you on there, Dion R. I've got Mo H, Sherry H M, Wendy M, Christiana K, CK, Merit W, and Dion R. So we're going to go ahead and start with Mo H, followed by Sherry M. And please always tell us where you're calling from so we can find you on the member list. Good morning, Mo.
Hey, good morning, Stephanie. And yes, it's Mo H, and I'm calling from California, Northern California. Hey, I was just looking at the title of this chapter, A Vision for You. Somebody is mapping out, and we know who that is, Bill, is mapping out a vision for me. I didn't have a vision of my life. I just went from day to day eating all I could. My vision was, how much can I get? Where can I get it? How can I hide it? All of that stuff. My eating didn't start until I was in high school. I knew I liked sweets, but because I was a dancer, I was able to keep my weight pretty even. And when we moved from Washington, D.C. to San Francisco, when I was 13, I guess I didn't deal with my feelings. I know I didn't deal with them. None of us did. And food became my comfort. And somebody shared at a meeting last week, the 301 food plan, you know, three meals a day, life in between, one day at a time. And that's the way my life is today. You know, in the beginning, when I first learned about OA, my therapist sent me and, you know, started listening to people, I would never identify as a compulsive overeater. I was not like that. I didn't do some of those things people did, but you know, after a while I realized, yes, I was. When I started, I couldn't stop, and then, you know, couldn't stop myself from starting once that happened. So, and then some of these words in here, the old pleasures were gone. Yes, they definitely, over the years, they were gone. You know, it was just becoming a ritual to just get my sugar. And I did not have eating buddies. I ate alone. I hid and I ate. Even, you know, with five kids and my husband, I would hide my eating. You know, my husband would say, why aren't you hungry for dinner? You know, and I had been eating all afternoon. I wasn't hungry for dinner. You know, we can't recapture those moments of the past. There was an insistent yearning, that's a craving, to enjoy life as we once did, and that never happened. Heartbreaking obsession that a new miracle, you know, the next diet. I did so many diets. I'm so glad not to be on a diet anymore and to just, you know, get up with the freedom of, yep, my weight and measured breakfast, life in between, and lunch, and the same. and enjoying and the fellowship of this group, and I'll stop, my time is up. The fellowship of this group has been wonderful, because after I lost my husband, I had so many friends calling me and comforting me, and because it was COVID, it was, you know, we were all locked down, so having people on the phone was very helpful. So with that, I pass. Thank you, Stephanie.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Mo H. from California. Next, we've got Sherry H.M., followed by Wendy M. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning. Sherry H.M., Sherry with a C, calling from Washington State. Gosh, I love, you know, this paragraph because it's a reminder of where I was, and especially this last sentence. There was always one more attempt and one more failure. So, yeah, there was always another diet. Then 11 years ago, I got a lot of medical bills, and I just thought, oh, my gosh, I'm so overwhelmed. How can I do this, you know? And I was thinking of another diet. And I remembered 6 years before, my Al-Anon sisters and I went out to eat, and they were just, you know, eating like, I don't know, some healthy foods. They weren't like limiting themselves on all kinds of stuff, but they told me about OA and they kept off, you know, a lot of weight, and that made my ears tingle. So, but of course I didn't go into the rooms until 6 years later with the gift of desperation. And I thought, you know, that'll never be me. I don't know how these people did it, but I can't do it. I just can't do this. How could I ever, you know, be abstinent and not miss my, you know, alcoholic foods, you know? And that was a beautiful moment, because I can't do it. My higher power, who I call God, did this for me, and I don't miss it. I can't, it's like I have to pinch myself. If I have an emotional buildup and I don't, you know, work a 10th step right away, then every once in a while, I'll start thinking, oh, doesn't something crunchy sound good or whatever. But anyway, you know, I want to encourage all the newcomers, because, yeah, we can't do it, absolutely. But we're happy, joyous, and free, and we're not white-knuckling it. And you're one of us. So welcome home, everybody. And that's all I have. So I pass and have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sherry M. from Washington State. Next up, Wendy M., followed by Christiana K. Good morning, Wendy.
Yes, good morning, Stephanie. Thank you for your service. And everyone on the line, Jody, for your opening share. It's all been fantastic. I always say, like, it's just a miracle that I'm even here on this line with all of you, right? Like, that's a miraculous demonstration of the power of God. I did not get myself here. You know, that it just happens. Like, when we work it, it happens. So, yeah, my eating started very, very young. I remember eating, maybe at age 3, eating dog biscuits. And I ate the dog biscuits because literally at age 3, I knew they were less calories than the cookies, even though I got to the cookies after the dog biscuits. But that was the extent to which I needed release. I remember, like, not eating a lot at school, but the minute I got home, I needed that release. It was heroin, you know, it was meth. It didn't matter. It was food. It's all the same. And I had to get release. There was no way I was going to deal with the buildup of human emotions that I was experiencing the minute I got home, you know. So it worked, right? The food worked. And then, of course, it didn't. And then it says conviviality with people, you know. I just shoved food down my throat in private. I remember going to my grandparents' house, and they had candy in the kind of in the pantry. And so, I'd go in, the lights closed, and my mom would join me. So we had this kind of like, she was an alcoholic. So it was kind of like we're eating the sugar of the alcohol together. And that made, you know, that was a bond. But this word release is so powerful, you know, because we all build up of human emotions. There's nothing like it. You know, and then we have this program. How does that happen? And then it says, some new miracle of control. Absolutely. How can I control and enjoy this sugar, this flour? hitting on someone, my gossip, like all of it. How can I control and enjoy all my defects of character? How can I get away with all of this? And I can't. I can't control anything. That's why we have the third step. We turn it over. And then finally it says, one more failure. Here's the thing. When we're in God's world, there's no such thing as failures, right? I make a mistake and God says, that's all right, sweetheart. We're going to course correct. We're going to get back in alignment with me. And the brilliant part of the program is we know when we're messing up. And the messing up gets me to God. My defects of character get me to God. That's how this program works. No failures. Before program, oh, I'll say one more thing. OA ruined my binges. You know, a head full of program and a belly full of food, it ruins my binge. I can't enjoy it anymore. And thank God OA ruins my binges. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Wendy M. from Colorado. Next, we've got Christiana K., followed by CK. Good morning, Christiana.
Hi, everyone. Good morning. Christiana from San Francisco, California, compulsive overeater. Thank you for your service, moderator. Thank you, everybody who shared so far. I got so much out of it, and this reading is so, what is it? I've read it 1,000 times, and every time something jumps out at me. And meals. Eating together has always means conviviality and the great conversations. And, you know, I come from a big family and every meal was like that. Was a lot of conviviality and conversations and discussions and lots and lots of food. For me, I don't think it ever meant that I could watch it and I could observe that being the case for other people. But I'm also in another fellowship. And so for me, being at the table meant that I was either drinking or overeating, eating and eating and eating. And the companionship, I could never get that. And I was looking for it in the wrong place, right? And fast forward many years, my husband and I, we bonded through food also a lot. We like to eat out at the best restaurants and talk about food and this and that. And I came to OA about 2.5 years ago. And he still refers to it as a diet. Oh, are you still on your diet? But it's okay. The person that needs to know that I'm a compulsive overeater, the person that needs to have a food plan and a sponsor and a spiritual connection and the steps is me, not him. And we still go to the best restaurants and have a great time, a grand time. I eat my food. He eats his food. I'm so grateful that I had a sponsor that was so generous with her time. And when she told me what she ate and, you know, how much she ate and about the program, she was about an hour and a half with me on the phone the first time. And then she said, and when I told her I wanted it, she said, okay, we start tomorrow. And I almost fell backwards because I thought I'd have a whole week to binge on whatever I wanted and then start, because that's what I've always done before, right? Just like the book says there was always one more attempt and one more failure. And I'm also very grateful for the gift of desperation. I was completely desperate.
Christiana,
completely defeated. Thank you so much. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Christiana K. in California. Next up is CK, followed by Merritt W. Good morning, CK.
Keith, good morning. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Awesome. This is CK in California. Thanks for everybody doing service. Very grateful to get a share. You know, before I share, though, somebody got to help me. Like, I'm thinking we're on one chapter and then find out we're on Vision for You. So If somebody can explain to me why we skip those chapters in between working with others and A Vision for You, I'd really appreciate it, because this is a powerful book, and I just need to know why we're skipping chapters. So if somebody could just please call me and let me know. But today, I have 243 days, and I'm very grateful for that, because back in October when I started, I was literally eating everything in sight all day long. I was so miserable. And just grateful today that I'm not killing myself that way. But I do recognize that I'm in the middle. I feel like I'm in the middle of a prelapse, and I'm headed for a relapse. I accept that I'm not normal, and food doesn't mean the same thing to me as it does normal people. You know, normal people didn't grow up the way that I grew up. And, you know, how I learned at an early age to use food in the way that I was using it. You know, most normal people aren't spiritually as sick as I am, and they don't need a spiritual solution to the degree that I do. Okay, that's cool. I'm not normal. I accept that. You know, today I know that acceptance is the answer to my healing. Acceptance is the answer to all my problems. You know, I realize that I have a magnifying mind, and whatever it focuses on, as it says in 4:18, that's what will be my reality. And so, you know, I feel like I don't have one more failure in me, you know, because I feel like this disease will kill me if I don't get my relationship with my higher power in order. It's going to take me out. And I don't want to go out like that. And so just for today, I look at my surrender tattoo on my arm, which I had to get a tattoo to remind me to surrender every single day, every single morning, every single time that I'm agitated, I'm disturbed. I have to surrender. I have to surrender and accept. I'm not like normal people. And that's okay. Thank God I have a program that tells me that I can recover. You know, I can recover from this spiritual illness if I focus on my relationship with a power that's greater than myself. And so I'm just so grateful for these programs that I'm in, and I'm so grateful for all of you. So please help me. I do have a new phone number. I will put it on the Vision website, but I really need some help right now. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, CK from California. And we have less than a minute. Merritt, did you want to take a minute share?
Yes, that's higher power telling me to make it good and make it fast. Okay, my name's Merritt, Merit, from Missouri, and I am so, so thankful to have found this meeting, and I just want to do a shout out for outreach. You know, hearing people share, you resonate with someone, you go look them up on the member list. Higher power has spoken to me so profoundly over the last week of just doing that action, right? It's simple and easy. I mean, just do it. Like, it doesn't have to be, don't get in your head about it. And just do it. That's it. Thanks.
Oh, thank you so much, Merritt W. from Missouri. And sorry, Dion, we're not going to get to you today, but please come back. All right, we'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Leslie M., can you please read the Vision for You?
Stephanie, I believe you asked me to do it. It's Penny L.C.
My goodness, Penny, I'm so sorry. Penny, please read that.
No problem, Stephanie. Thank you for your service. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.